In these cases, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwa, if they are to stay there for about 1 year, their prayer is full and they should fast there. So it depends on whether they stay there for 1 year or not. So if they stay and decide to stay there for 1 year, they have to offer full prayers there. Because that city, in my estimation, is considered to be their hometown, their watan, because they stay there for 1 year. And the same is the case with the student of the Islamic seminary. For example, students who are in the Islamic seminary of Qum, they do not know how long they are going to stay here and how long they continue to. So if they stay here for 1 year, then this city is considered to be a kind of watan or hometown, even though they do not intend to stay there for so long, for such a long time. But at the end of the day, they end up staying there for 1 year. So, or maybe they even decide to stay there for 1 year. So in that case, they should offer full prayers, even if, for example, they may go out and come back. But the thing is that they either plan or they have actually stayed there for 1 year.
Sheikh Javid, can an individual have multiple vatans or hometowns?
Of course.
How many? Is there any limit?
There's no limit, because if you stay in a city for, let's say, for a long period, which is, according to the common view, you're considered to be a resident of that city, then that becomes your city. So you may go to another city. Again, you buy a home there, you stay there for that. Even if you do not buy a home, you rent a house there, and of course you stay there for a long period, let's say 1 year or more than 1 year, you are considered to be a resident of that city. Provided that you do not give up on that city, you know. Sometimes you might even give up on your decision. Okay, you will relinquish in the sense that you will no longer consider that city as your hometown, and you will never return to it. With you have the in the back of your mind, you have the decision not to return to it and stay there for again to reside there. Yes. So in that case. That's, for example, let's say I give you the example of a girl who gets married,
yes,
and goes to her husband's hometown.
Yes,
he lives in another city. The wife should also go and be in the company of her husband. Mm-hmm. In that case, if she does not want to return and stay there in the future, then that first city hometown is no longer considered to be her hometown, because she has given up on that city as a hometown.
Yes, true. A student of Islamic studies lives in a city which is not his hometown. And before making the intention of staying for 10 days, he knows in advance or decides himself that he would go every week to a mosque near the city. Can this individual make the intent of staying for 10 days?
Well, at the same, at the time, let's say, of deciding to stay for 10 days, it does not harm this decision if a person intends to leave this place for another location at less than, let's say, the Shari distance. For example, you live in a city and you decide to go to the orchards nearby, very close to the city. You will go there to have a picnic, like having a short trip, and you come back. Or you just, as you gave the example of a mosque, maybe there is a central mosque somewhere, you go and you observe prayer, Friday prayer, or let's say your congregational prayer. That will not affect your decision to stay in a city for 10 days. For example, when you decide to stay in your place of work for 10 days, and you do not intend to leave for the neighboring city during those 10 days or afterward, so that again, you know, will not affect the decision to to stay in that city for 10 days.
Mm.
I should say that
okay.
The answer to the previous question, if you travel to a place less than Shari distance, we know that the Shari distance is at least 22 kilometers.
Mm.
So it will not harm your decision to stay in a city for 10 days. Okay,
I see.
That will be okay. And you can still offer full prayers. You should you can observe fast.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break. And we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javed, somebody asked, I work in a place which is less than the Sharia distance from the nearby city. Since none of the two places is my hometown, I make the intent to stay 10 days in my place of work in order to perform full prayer and fast there. When I decide to stay in my place of work for 10 days, I don't intend to leave for the neighboring city during those 10 days or afterwards. What's the Sharia rule in the following situations? I ask you the questions, and if you provide the answer, then I move on to the next.
Okay, that's okay.
So let me ask the first scenario. If I leave for the nearby city in an emergency or for a business before the end of the 10 days, and I stop there for about 2 hours before returning to my place of work, so what happens here?
So His Eminence says that if one does not have a primary intention to leave the place after the rule of full prayer is established,
yes.
Okay, though it may be, you know, by performing at least a single 4-rakat prayer, leaving it for a place at less than the Shari distance in one or several days. Let's say by day, it's meant from sunrise to sunset as perceived by common view, does not harm the intention of staying for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're living, going to a place which is within less than the Shari distance, it will not harm your staying for 10 days. So there's no problem. You should still keep offering full prayers.
Mm-hmm. If I leave for the city after the end of the 10 days, visiting one of its districts without passing the Sharia distance, and I stay there for a night before returning to my residence?
Again, the same ruling applies. Mm-hmm. Because you are not exceeding the Sharia distance, you do not go beyond 22.5 kilometers.
Yeah.
So you may travel as far as 20 kilometers and then come back. Maybe you stay there for one night.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the ruling is the same. There's mm-hmm. no difference.
So what if I leave for the city after 10 complete days, intending to visit a certain district, but I change my mind after reaching it and decide to go to another point or location, which is at more than the Sharia distance from my city of residence?
If it is more than the Sharia distance, of course you are a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely have to offer shorten prayers and also break your fast.
Yes.
But if it's within or less, let's say not within, because when I say within, probably some people might misunderstand. Mm-hmm. So I should say that if it is less than the Sharia distance, then in that case, the intention of stay remains intact.
Mm-hmm.
The intention of staying at a place for 10 days remains intact. It is not affected, and there would be no objection to him.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, whereby we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to travelers based on fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا اله الا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا اله الا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن ولا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
يعني
بازار
Many people have ideas. However, those who turn their ideas into reality are the ones who search for ways to make their ideas happen. More often than not, this occurs by joining knowledge with method. Knowledge brings competitive advantages and generates sustainable market leadership. Its tools are creativity and innovation, which are all intangible human talents. Never more than now has knowledge been so critical and significant in production and the shift towards a knowledge-based economy. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Ali Reza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we are going to explore the central role science and technology parks play in complementing the knowledge-based production ecosystem. We wanted to see how the government is shifting towards a knowledge-based economy, and plus we wanted to understand why tech parks are so critical to industry development and the national economy. So let's get started. To better understand the country's knowledge-based ecosystem, we visited an event at Semnan Science and Technology Park where we could get some answers. Science and technology parks are where startups and innovative teams can operate in one geographical location. These areas provide diverse services and facilities to companies that fit the criteria. We were able to catch up with a couple companies that operate out of this park. One of these companies specializes in producing advanced machines used in mining. This company is one of only a handful that has managed to indigenize these previously imported products. Another company we ran into while at the event specializes in making hardware and software with artificial intelligence. Events like the one we visited helped braid together and link companies, investors, and infrastructures with the necessary resources to complete projects. These components all make up the various parts of the knowledge-based ecosystem. But we also wanted to know how science and tech parks operate and why they are attractive to businesses. One of the advantages of these parks is that it's a space where crucial resources are offered. These places are a focal point for serving knowledge-based companies producing advanced specialized products needed in the domestic market. Science and technology parks also serve as a launching pad toward the international arena. We spoke with a park official who helped shed more light on this issue.
There are four scenarios of which foreign companies could have the opportunity to reside in Shandong Science and Technology Park. Well, the first scenario will be the execution of soft landing programs between the two countries, which gives the foreign companies an opportunity to get familiar with the host country's market. Well, the second scenario will be holding joint events, including joint startup events, fairs, and similar events which could help them get familiar with each other. And the other scenario, or the third way that a company could have the chance to come to our park, will be to find and carry out joint projects with our companies, and finally sharing the interests. The fourth scenario will be holding joint innovation tours, which gives them, which gives the companies an opportunity to get familiar with how you know innovation ideas are being implemented in other countries.
These parks are essential in filling a gap in the tech innovation ecosystem, providing monetary resources and attracting investments. These establishments also join investors with particular companies and projects. They offer numerous unique services such as facilitating visa processes, offering financial assistance such as soft loans or even special incentives under free trade zones like tax exemptions. And it doesn't stop there. This park offers so much more to investors.
The other solution or the other way that could attract foreign investors will be to define BOT models, which means they have to introduce projects and within the framework of our protocols. And once it is, it has been approved, they can operate the project for a while. This includes mainly long-term projects. Particularly, and I shall have to tell you that Shandong Science and Technology Park is very interested in projects in the fields of artificial intelligence, IT, ICT, IoT, and virtual reality. And we could help these companies. And once they have, once they build it and then operate it, they could transfer it to our park.
Most tech parks, such as this one, are active in the international sphere and collaborate with other domestic tech parks. Furthermore, these areas function as export hubs. Therefore, one of their main activities is boosting and supplying domestic products to this end. Over the years, the government has placed special attention on knowledge-based companies while implementing new approaches to support tech parks and their businesses. Some of these initiatives aim to remove obstacles along the path of development of these companies. Other activities involve giving resources to executive branches to further develop the ecosystem of innovation and technology nationwide. Along these lines, the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology has implemented a series of activities. This includes investing some $1.4 billion towards financial services. The government has also created a strategic technology development headquarters. It is tasked with implementing 400,000 tech projects and 150 commercialization projects. But that's not all. The government has also established 65 innovation centers and dozens more accelerators to support the developing entrepreneurship ecosystem. Currently, there are well over 7,000 knowledge-based companies scattered across the nation. These enterprises offer services and products in numerous industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food, chemical tech, aircraft maintenance, steel, gas, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, just to name a few. According to government figures, the knowledge-based ecosystem accounts for more than 3% of the country's gross domestic product. Moreover, the share of knowledge firms in the country's GDP in 2019 exceeded $34 billion and witnessed a 450% growth since then. That's all according to the Vice President for Science and Technology, Sorena Satori. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find the stress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution, and we reach the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem. How is the process towards the solution? And what is the final product and prototype? These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
Alright, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I'm in Sarah Dema.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities, so before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfigol says Iran on average registers around 70,000 scientific articles in international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfigol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email, and don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in, and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
Your option for today and a better tomorrow. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
Tel Aviv is coming up against myriad obstacles, from the loss of Western public opinion to the nervousness of its key backers. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned, please. Middle East I wrote, for 75 years, the Western world was indifferent. But this war is forcing the Zionist regime's Western backers to see the full horrors of the crimes being committed in a campaign they described 5 months ago as just. Even a progressive critic of the Zionist regime like U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders said 5 months ago that the war against resistance group Hamas was just. The degree of brutality and glee shown by the Zionist regime troops as they go on their daily killing sprees, starving Gaza and then dropping leaflets in Arabic telling Palestinians to feed the needy, killing 400 people waiting for aid and then vowing to flood Gaza with aid, all of this is too much to sweep under the carpet when this war stops. A Rubicon has been crossed. With this war, the Zionist regime has entered the elite rank of pariah states. It is now the ugliest of the ugly. It's impossible to forgive. It cannot be justified, nor can it be put into context. The entire operation in Gaza is an atrocity. Liberal Zionism has become a contradiction in terms. It's too much of a straight. Acting like this, the Zionist regime has become not the home of a beleaguered people persecuted around the world for millennia, but the Fort Knox of Jewish supremacism, the natural heir to white supremacists. This is having a transformational effect on Jewish people worldwide, in whose name and common past these crimes are being committed. The short cri du coeur of Jonathan Glazer, the British director of the Zone of Interest, did not come out of the blue when he said during his Oscar acceptance speech, "We stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people." The same cry of "not in my name" is coming from the thousands of young Jews who are marching every weekend in London to stop the war in Gaza. Emily, a Jewish activist with the group Na'mud UK, recently said, "I think there has been a quiet reckoning in our community, and you can see this because the bloc keeps growing, the movement keeps growing, the constituency organizations keep getting bigger and bigger. I have never been so sure that I will see a free Palestine." Asked what she thought of her government's attempts to brand these marches as the work of extremists, she said, "I'm very tired of being told how to feel as a Jewish person by people who are not Jewish. I'm tired of being told to feel afraid when these marches are, by and large, peaceful. And people are so lovely to us and so thankful to us. It really shows the ignorance of Jewish opinion outside of their very small Zionist rabble." This is where real leadership is coming from. It's on the streets, not parliament. These are the lions. The political leaders are the donkeys, she said. The Zionist regime and its apologies are right to be scared of what a new generation of American and British Jews are telling them. For the last 8 decades, the child killer regime of Israel governed a consensus about its existence, identity, and purpose that was more powerful than all the arms, money, and Jewish migrants it received. The weaker this consensus becomes, the quicker the Zionist regime will lose its influence in the centers of Western powers. Already, the compulsive addiction of support for the Zionist regime is upending the West's own attempts to explain to itself that it is a moral force, a force for good in the world. Under the British government's latest definition of extremism, it is right to support a government that flouts the Genocide Convention, starves a population under occupation, and kills unarmed mothers and children at will, but extremists to protest against that on the streets of London. This is a patent absurdity. It is left to the likes of South Africa to show Britain the way. It is now going to prosecute its citizens who return after fighting for the Zionist regime's army. It will take time to erode, but after what has happened in Gaza, the future will surely not guarantee the hold the Zionist regime has over every major Western political party. It will not be able to dictate the definition of anti-Semitism, nor will it guarantee the funds that aspiring Western politicians need. Today, every Tory and Labour politician with ambitions for the top job must, almost by definition, be a friend of Israel, a club that maintains a stronghold on each parliamentary party. That might not be true for the next generation of politicians. Jewish academic opposition to the fabricated regime of Israel is strong and vocal. It cannot accurately be called fringe. The child killer regime of Israel is now starting to lose the global Jewish voice. Netanyahu's weakness is having a profound effect on the Western political elites who supported and armed the Zionist regime. U.S. President Joe Biden's rift with Netanyahu is now open and in the public eye. The U.S. leader, who said so loudly that Israel had every right to defend itself 5 months ago, now says Israel cannot kill another 30,000 Palestinians in the name of self-defense. We don't believe Biden has had some dramatic change of heart or that the scales have fallen from his eyes. U.S. government officials are fully informed about what is happening on the ground in Gaza at every stage of his operation. They knew, for instance, that resistance groups were not diverting aid convoys or stealing food, and said so. If Biden is confronting the consequences of having given the Zionist regime the brightest of green lights to invade Gaza after the October 7th events, those consequences are primarily electoral. Biden's team has been shocked by the extent of uncommitted vote. Hundreds of thousands of voters across the U.S. voted for no candidate in the Democratic primaries on Super Tuesday, as the movement urging voters to vote uncommitted gathers pace in protest against Biden's handling of the war in Gaza. This could cost him in the general election in November. Biden's Ramadan greetings were especially warm this year, but Arab Americans don't want hugs. They want a change of policy, and Biden still only supports a temporary ceasefire, not a permanent one. He has not threatened to stop the supply of weapons to Israel. Nevertheless, there has been a deliberate shift in tone. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S., was full-throated in his support for the Zionist regime after the October 7th events. Recently, he warned the Zionist regime it cannot survive if it becomes a global pariah. Schumer accused Netanyahu of putting political survival above national interest and said he had been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for the Zionist regime worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah, he said. The loss of public opinion in the West, the continuing genocide case at the International Court of Justice, the erosion of Jewish consensus, and the nervousness of the Zionist regime's backers, all of these elements point to a strategic defeat for the child killer regime of Israel. Even if the war stops now, the price the Israeli regime has paid for the reoccupation of Gaza will be higher than it could have possibly calculated 5 months ago, but it has yet to realize this. It will.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Trying to learn how to read the Quran beautifully, fluently, with tajweed rules. We really welcome you all. We have brothers Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, and Hussein Akbari with us today in this session. I really, really welcome. Salam Hussein, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein, next Hussein, two Hussein we have today. Hussein, how are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. So, Hassan, how is it going?
Well,
Alhamdulillah. Fawad?
fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is great and energetic. Hope you are ready, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, today we will be talking about Ayah 85. Tell us the surah, guys.
Al-A'raf.
What page?
161.
Top of the page, right?
Yes.
Kind of top of the page, yeah?
Kind of.
So, page 161.
Ayah 85.
Surah?
Al-A'raf.
Brothers and sisters, hope you have found the page we are practicing. Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah. There is a recitation. Ready to listen? Come on, everyone. Ready?
Yes.
Let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa ila Madyana akhahum Shu'ayba. Qala ya qawmi i'budullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayruhu qad ja'atkum. قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
MashaAllah. Nice recitation. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Almighty sent Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam to the people of Madian, a place called Madian near Damascus or like Yemen, yes, which is called near Sham right now, we call it, okay, in Syria. Yeah, it was a place in Syria. So Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam was sent to that people. And also there is another name for the place where Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam was sent to the people of that place, Aika. Okay, Aika and Madian, whether like the name for that place Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam was sent to the people. So wa ila Madian akhahum Shu'ayb, the same as other prophets, Prophet Shu'ayb was sent to his people, to the people of Madian. And وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَوَهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Yeah. And to the people of Madian, Shu'ayb alayhi salam, their brother, was sent. قَالَ Shu'ayb alayhi salam said, يَا قَوْمِ, the same as the other prophets. What were the other prophets used to say to the people?
Believe in God.
Yeah, believe in God and worship God. وَعْبُدُوا وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهُ. Yes?
وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهُ.
Yeah. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. O my people, worship Allah. You have no other gods besides him. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. There has certainly come to you a manifest proof from your Lord. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ بَيِّنَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. Look, first, Prophet said, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, do not count partners for him. Second point, فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ, observe fully the measure and the balance. In the time of Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam, the people were having business problems, business issues. Alright? For example, whenever they were selling something to the people, they were selling with a high price, something little with a high price, okay? They had a lot of riba. It means usury among them. That's why Prophet Shu'ayb alayhi salam points this point. أَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. Observe fully the measure and balance. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. And do not cheat the people of their goods. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And do not cause corruption on the earth after its restoration. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That is better for you if you are faithful. So, this is what the ayah says. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for beautiful information. an explanation. Time to mention some tajweed points, but Hussein is ready to read this ayah for us, yes? So since the ayah is a bit longer, so half of the ayah, one Hussein reads, and half of the ayah, the other Hussein reads. Okay?
Okay, sir. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم
أحسنتم. So the next Hussein. أوف الكيلة والميزان.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Very beautifully.
ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. God bless you, inshallah. Alright. Fawad, you could help us with the tajweed points. I will ask you, let us know. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Tell us the tajweed points. First, the word مَدْيَن.
Yes.
What is the point here?
So the letter dal has a bouncing sound.
An echoing sound, good. Yeah. How do you read it? Hussein, Hassan, tell us.
Madian.
Madian.
A weak qalqala.
A weak qalqala. Yeah, that's a weak qalqala. Good.
Then akhahum, the pronunciation, the heavy letter.
Heavy letter, make sure you have an a sound. Not akhahum, akhahum. Mm-hmm.
Yes, then at Shu'ayba.
So I said Shu'ayban. Why do you have to pronounce it?
Shu'ayba.
Shu'ayba. That's the point. Why is that the point?
Because you're stopping.
We've mentioned this point. I mean, you pronounce it Shu'ayba because of the rule of stopping. The rule of stopping says whenever you stop
at a word
ending in tanween. Fatha, an. Tanwin Fatha changes to?
Alif Man.
Yeah. Shu'ayban is changed to Shu'ay
Ba.
Ba with an Alif. Shu'ay Ba.
Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yamuruni min faydi dhiya ayatul mawla.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
There is one point that Hassan can tell us. Qila and the next stopping sign Sila and one more we have Jim, little Jim. What are these three for?
These three are stopping signs.
Alright, so Qila tells us?
Qila tells us that it's better to stop.
Better to stop. Normally you have to read, yeah?
وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ.
This way, continue till the end of the ayah. Yeah? Normally, you have to read this way. Yes, Hussein?
Yes.
But these stopping signs sometimes let us stop. Yeah? In case we are running out of breath or in case you want to make a pause. Let's see. You are allowed or
not.
Hassan says, whenever you have qila, you can
stop.
Is it better to stop?
Yes.
Qila says, not only you can stop, but also it's better to stop. Thank you. What about Sila?
Sila says it's better to continue.
Better to continue. What about that jim?
Jim is allows us to stop.
Allows us to make a pause. Good job. So these are the points. In the previous verses, we mentioned some of the other tajweed points. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. You ignore the hamzatul wasl, the alif in the beginning of the word اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. That's actually hamzatul wasl. مَا لَكُمْ extended إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Yes, مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ كُمْ. Make sure you hide the sound of mean. بَيِّنَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Changes to مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Yeah. فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Very simple. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You read it.
خَيْرٌ
لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Two, three extensions. إِن كُنْتُمْ. You hide the sound of these two noon. And تُمْ مُؤْمِنِين. Extend the sound of me. إِدْغَام. إِدْغَام. Which type of إِدْغَام is this? كُنْتُمْ مِمْ سَاكِنْ.
إِدْغَام مِثْلَي.
إِدْغَام مِثْلَي. So, time to recite this ayah. That were, these were the tajweed points we mentioned. Now, let's practice them. And apply the rules in the recitation. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, as you're listening, so inshallah join us in the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا.
وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا.
قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره.
قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره.
قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم.
قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم.
فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم.
فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم.
ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها.
ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها.
ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, for being with us in this session. That's all from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Hassan Hussein, Fawad, and the next Hussein Akbari. Thank you so much for being with us in this session. Allah bless you. See you in the next session. So, thanks to IRB English Radio as well and Sevier International School too. That's all from us for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه.